Welcome, everyone, to another fellowship around our Heavenly Father, His Word, our risen Lord and Savior also. This is the title I picked out in lieu of what we're going to see, and it simply says, How God Our Father Views Us. Shati picked the picture, and I think it's appropriate. Got a person holding their hands tight together with the Bible right in front of them, and it's open. This is how God our Father views us. In the world, they have plenty of things on how they view you and I. And they ain't always good. They ain't always good. But that's not what our Father does. They're always words that build us up. They're always His promises that you can take to the bank and be reassured and assured that what God says and the story, that's what matters in our life. We don't hear it enough. And one way you can hear it is by going to His Word and looking Him up. So we're going to do that. And I'm going to see just how much we're going to cover tonight. If I can't do them all, we will do them maybe the next fellowship. So what God says matters. So how much more than what man says is that? A lot more. What our Father says gives us great comfort. Great comfort. Because there are words, again, that build us up and that bless us with His love. So I got 10 reminders what God says and that how He feels about His children, which should really lift up your hearts. And before we get to them, I want you to know that everything we learn or hear from God is crucial in our lives because we hear less of that and more of what the world says. It's kind of unavoidable because you're either working somewhere or you're doing this and that, and you're exposed to a lot of people who don't necessarily believe in God or made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, so you got to go with their flow. But not really. Not really. As we heard yesterday in our communion service and fellowship, we need to really realize and recognize how valuable you and I are to God and to each other. How many can show me by the raising of your hands where they've had a brother or sister help you with something? I hope everyone's hand goes up. Good. Good. Now, did you have to pay for it? No. Matter of fact, who paid the price, period? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And so God gives us His wisdom. Now, the first one we're going to look at is we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You guys agree? Yeah. We are not an accident. We are not an accident. We were intentionally designed by God. We were intentionally designed by God. So the next time you're not feeling so good, or you have a brother and sister that's not feeling so good, who do you go to first? The doctor? Uh-uh. You go to God. Why? Because He's the one who put us together. He's the one who put us together. There's not some manufacturing company in Ohio that makes humans. God created man and woman, and we are perfect. We are so complex and so filled with so many details that give us this life, this breath life, and yet God just breathed that into man. See? And so it's really important that we constantly remind ourselves that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by our Heavenly Father. So we're going to start off by looking what it says in Psalms. And in Psalms, I would ask that you go to chapter 139. And we're going to start in verse 13. And I'll be reading primarily out of the NLT. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalms 139, starting in verse 13. It says, You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. Are the inner parts of our body delicate? Absolutely. They're not made of steel. They're made out of flesh and bone. And they're delicate, yet they work just fine. And knit me together in my mother's womb. if you want to say, where were we put together? In your mother's womb, okay? Mom's the factory. God's the creator. Verse 14, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. And we are, like I said a minute ago. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. 15, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. So you see, God has plans and had plans for you. We just fulfill them. 17, how precious are your thoughts about me? God thinks you're precious. You know, someone gets mad at you, they don't think you're precious. They think you're a bum. Right? Oh, God, they cannot be numbered. The preciousness that he calls us and says about us, all those thoughts that he has, they cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. It's not like when I wake up, I'm going to see if God's home. His home is in the temple. The temple is you and I. So that's why he's with you. Moving on. Number two. God says that we are accepted. I filled out many applications in my life where I wasn't accepted. I was declined. I said, oh, well, to try someone else. No. The day I confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and that God raised him from the dead, I was accepted. You were accepted. Okay? You didn't have to show him a resume. You didn't have to fulfill some kind of this and that. Just those words right there caused you to be accepted. He accepts and welcomes us. That's what he does, our Heavenly Father. Go to Romans chapter 5, please. And when you get to Romans 5, let's drop down to verse 8. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, because we were, Christ died for us, as we were reminded yesterday with communion. Christ died. No one held a gun to his head. No one forced him. He decided that God's will be done. And that's what we need to do in our lives. We are living sacrifices. We want to do God's will. If you don't know what it is, like I said, you could always ask. Ask the Father and have your ears open. Okay? God has something for you to do. Steve, God has shown you a lot of things and you've done them. We've talked about it. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Go to Ephesians 1, please. Show you something else. Ephesians 1:5. We are accepted. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him pleasure. It's not what it says. It gave him great pleasure. Great pleasure for God to do that. So, we praise God. Well, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? We need to do that every breath we draw is praising God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. And in verse 7, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. That's how big of a deal we are. That's how precious we are, like I said earlier, what we read, that it took the blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring us into the fold. And so, we've been accepted. So much so that God gave his only begotten son. For what? The trees? The birds? No. For mankind, the family that God wanted. That's what he started many, 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 many years ago. And now that we're a part of that, we want to see what we can do. We want to be proactive in our lives. We don't want to be stagnant. We don't want to say, well, I'm in there anyway. Why should I have to do anything? You don't have to, but you should want to. You should want to, especially with all the goodness that God gives us and shows us every day. If we went around the room right now and I asked you, start telling me some of the things that God did for you, we'd be here. We'd be here for weeks. We really would. Because I know my list is big, and I know who it comes from, and that's God. We are accepted through grace and not personal merit. Nothing we could do. Amen?
Amen.
Number three, we are loved with an everlasting love. How many in this room kind of don't like it when you put chewing on a piece of gum and all of a sudden the flavor's gone? And it was your last piece, right? I actually was doing research to find out which gum's flavor lasts the longest. So you know how I did my research? I asked people, what kind of gum do you chew? How long does it last? Not too long. Said, oh, yeah, this lasts all the time. And the one gum, this is crazy, the one gum that I found above all that lasted the longest with the flavor was a young lady at work who chews Nicorette. And it's flavor. There's mint or peppermint or something. She goes, oh, this will last me for hours. And then I just change it out. Wow. I said, well, I don't smoke, so I don't need that. But I don't know if it would be profitable to chew Nicorette. But anyway, it doesn't last. It's not everlasting, the flavor. Your clothes that you wear, they're only going to last so long before they start getting tattered. Or you said, these are too old, and you buy something new. But still yet, we need to realize just how we are loved unconditionally. I need you to go to 1 John. I'm sorry. Back up. I'm jumping the gun. We are loved with an everlasting love. So John, Gospel of John, we all know this one. You guessed it. John 3:16. Can we all say that together? For God so loved the world that he gave his begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a power-packed verse. But that verse is life. That verse is life. And that verse uses the word everlasting, everlasting life. Well, that seems logical to me. Why would you want everlasting love if you don't have everlasting life? So you need one with the other, right? God gives you everlasting love. However long you're going to be around, you got his love. So, whoops, that means eternity. You're going to have his love, everlasting love. And that's what he does. So I need you to go to 1 John now, chapter 3. A lot of these verses you're familiar with, but it's a good thing to go and look at them again. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, upon you, that we should be called the sons of God, and we are. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And because it knew him not, don't expect a lot. Okay? If you want to put that on a t-shirt, go ahead. But because it knew him not, don't expect a lot. But because we do, have great, great expectations. Because God never runs out of his goodness towards us. We just saw it with this one, everlasting love. You'll never lose the flavor on that. It'll be with you forever. Okay? So, we are loved with an everlasting love. Number four, we are loved unconditionally. Now, the world has a big problem with that one. Until you do, or you do something for it, or you happen to make them happy, your love is contingent upon that. You get someone mad, they're not ready to love you. They're ready to curse you, you know. I've said this to many of you before. Some of the greatest reminders of some of these things that I'm looking at is my dog, is our dog. He has unconditional love. I can hit him, 2 seconds turn around and come back and come to me and want to be loved or give me love, okay? He's got forgiveness. It's a good thing for me to be reminded through our dog, and it's really sweet. But we are here to be reminded about God from His Word and by one another. Do not hesitate to tell someone how much you love them, and there's no read between the lines on that or fine print. It's the way God wants you to be. We all have hang-ups. We're humans, but we move on from that. We're going to look at 4 now, and that's we are loved unconditionally. And like I said, our pooch shows this that every day. So we need to go to 1 John and chapter 4. Some great verses here, my brothers and sisters. 1 John 4:9. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might, which really needs to say, we may have eternal life through Him. Verse 10, this is real love, okay? It's not fake, it's real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Have we all had sins, or do we have sins? Absolutely, absolutely. But God says, I'm not going to remember them, so I don't need you to remember them. And bigger than that, I sent my Son to clean your slate. So when you start thinking about your sins and dwelling on them, you're like putting Jesus back up on a cross. You're like re-crucifying Jesus Christ. God says, they're done. You're good. You're good to go. Where are you headed? To eternal life. In the meantime, do your best for me here on earth. It says, my will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Here on earth, where we are now. Okay? And when you fall asleep, His will is going to be done when you wake up. Okay? So that's a big one. Romans 5. Unconditionally loved. Romans 5 and verse 5. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. Nothing God does brings us disappointment. The only disappointment we get is from man, or maybe yourself, but not from God. Not from God. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly, dearly God loves us. Because, again, He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. God wanted a container to put His love. When I'm around shouting, honey, can you reach up there and give me that container? No, the bigger one. God, if He needed a container to put that Holy Spirit in us, in our hearts, so that we will know His love, there's not a container big enough. I can tell you that right now. But, He's given us His Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. We need to make sure that our hearts are never half full or quarter tank. They're full to the top. They're overflowing with His love. We just need to recognize that and accept it and be blessed and rejoice in that. Moving on, number 5. We are His workmanship. We've heard that over and over again. And that's okay. You know, if you feel how special you are because God says you are, then you can say, hey, I'm God's workmanship. Really? I thought you were mother and father's. Yeah, but who's theirs? God. We're His workmanship. And when He put us together, we're never out of date. We're never last year's model. We're always current because of God. Ephesians 2:10, please. Yeah, God knew what he was doing when he put us together. You know, scientists have always pondered, why do we have two eyes, two ears, and one mouth? We all know what the answer to that one is. But that's what God wanted. God wants you to make sure you hear what he's saying, so he gave it two ears. Okay? And he wants you to see what you need to see, so we have two eyes. And just don't be such a be a good listener, be a good seer. God put us together. He created us. I didn't. So, I said Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. There it is. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. A lot of this, all this hinges on Jesus Christ. And why wouldn't it? He's a perfect example. He's our big brother. We look up to him. He's shown us how things should be done. It goes on. So we can do the good things. There you go. He planned for us long ago. Do you not realize that God had plans for your life? In high school, if you'd have come up to me, it's probably one of the worst behaved periods of my life. But anyway, in high school, if you'd have come up to me and said, hey, you're going to have fellowship. Fellowship of what? The Bible. I'd have looked at you like, what? What? But little did I know God had plans for me. And so they're now being fulfilled every time we have fellowship. And I am such a blessed man. I'm so thankful that I listened to what he had in store for me. And not just listened, but fulfilled it and did it. I can remember right before we had our very first fellowship, I talked to Bob Linfeld about it. I said, what do you think? Mom says, do it. Go ahead and do it. If that's on your heart, do it. It's on my heart. So many, many years from that day to the present, we're in fellowship again. And what are we talking about? Clothes, cars, fashions? No. We're talking about the key things in God's word that he says we are. We're talking about how God our Father views us. It doesn't say how the world, no, how God our Father views us. And we're just looking at some of them, okay? Some of them. So, we need now to go to Isaiah chapter 64, please. And when you get to Isaiah 64, please drop down to verse 8. I really like this verse. It really paints a picture. And why wouldn't it? God's the one who wrote this. They're his words. Isaiah 64, 8. And yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We all are formed by your hand. So you've seen people on the thing that spins and they're making a vase. Well, God has his own, I guess, and he says, oh, here's Judy, boom. Here's Todd, here's Jeannie, here's Steve. And one of a kind. We're all one of a kind. So, if you feel like you're not good enough, you are. Not only are you good enough, but you're the only one like you, and you make a difference. No one else can do what Maria can do. Your autograph, your signature is unique to you. The way you talk to someone is better than anyone in this room could, because it's your words. You know where you're at, and you seize the moment. So God bless you for the times when you do that. Maria. Oh, this is a biggie. It's number 6 on our list. We have a purpose. I have new people at work, new people, they come up to me and go, hey, what do I do? I could tell them, I don't know, do whatever you want. No, I don't do that. I show them the job they got to do and how to do it. But I let them know that you have a purpose here. Don't ever underestimate who you are because you're new. I was where you were once upon a time, and I wanted to feel valued here. And so I try to make them feel valued from day one, saying, hey, don't let those other people intimidate you. You just do what you got to do, and you'll be fine. The years, they'll stack up. But you're just as important as everyone else here. We like to say we're a team. And when one falls short, it makes it harder for the rest of us. But we pick up the slack, yes. But I let them know that you're that cog in the wheel, you're that spoke in the rim that's just as important as the rest of them. We all support each other. So we all have a purpose. We're going to go to Jeremiah 29 now. A good verse here. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. This is God speaking. Omnipotent, our Heavenly Father. For I know the plans I have for you. If we stopped right there, that's good enough. God knows the plans He has for us. Now, it's mind-boggling because how many humans are in existence today? Anybody know?
8 billion.
Right. More than that now. But God knew every person that was born, especially the ones who were going to be a part of His family, but He had a purpose for each one of them. I'd run out of jobs for you guys to do. I really would. But not God. Part of the purpose is doing His will. It's helping someone with getting born again, or helping someone to be a part of God's family so that they don't have to suffer with the world's rhetoric, but enjoy the love of God and bask in that love. So, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for what?
Good.
Exactly. Not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope." And verse 12 says, "In those days, when you pray, I will listen." What better assurance can you give from Almighty God than He says, when you pray, I'm listening. I'm listening. So fill His ears with your heart's desires. Fill His ears with praise and thanksgiving. God is listening. There's always something to do being a member in His family. Don't sell yourself short. There's always something to do. Even when we're not together, when you're by yourselves, there's something to do. Ask God to show you. He's got a list. He wants you to be a vital person in the family of God. So, like zombies. Number 7, we are protected. Man buys insurance for this, for that, or whatever. But the greatest protection we could ever receive is from our Heavenly Father. And for us to see this, please go to Zephaniah. Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. And when you get there, we need to drop to chapter 3. And in Zephaniah 3, please go to verse 17. I'll give you a chance to get there. We don't go to Zephaniah all that much. Still God's word. Amen. Zephaniah 3:17. And in Zephaniah 3:17, it says, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is living in you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all your fears. He'll rejoice over you with joyful songs." So God's going to sing to us? Or does He have an angel, a choir of angels doing that? Maybe. But it says right here, He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. I don't know what song He's singing to you, but I'm sure we've all are included in that. But I thought that was really sweet to see that verse. When we living life, we're living life, we're moving about with a living security, and He is able. God is always able to deliver you from a situation. There's always a way out with God. So, this brings us to number 8. and I will give you great peace and teach you. God will give us great peace and teach you. A lot of times when I pray or I'm ministering to someone, I tell them a peace that God gives the world could never give. Because the world, again, has conditions, has hang-ups, has limitations. Not God's love. Not God's love. Please go to Isaiah 54. And we're going to start in verse 13. Isaiah 54:13. It says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. God wants us to have this peace, and in the process, he's going to teach us. He's teaching us here by what he's saying, to not live in fear, but to live in the security of him, because how much he loves us. If you love someone or something, you're going to protect them, aren't you? If someone tries to harm Shanti, I'm going to be right there. Or my dog. Or one of you. One of you. If I'm in the neighborhood, you better believe it. I'm going to step up. Because you're my brother and sister in Christ. And God is with me and with you. So it's already taken care of. Period. And how are we taught? By his word is one of them. We're taught by his word. And his spirit talking to our spirit. That's how we're taught. Not to mention by the gathering of the saints, such as fellowships. That's what we're taught. When we go to fellowship, go with that great expectation of learning something, of seeing something new, or seeing more of what you missed the first time. Two more. Number 9, we are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Really? When you pull up to your parking spot, it says, you're the greatest. You know where to park. And for this, I ask you to go to Matthew, please. In Matthew chapter 18, we are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. You may not be the greatest here on earth, but that's okay. We're just passing through, right? Matthew 18, look at verse 3. Jesus Christ is about to speak. Then he, Jesus, said, I tell you the truth. Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. So, anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There you have it. I didn't write the book. There you have it. You see how God is constantly building you up? Saying things to you that you don't even think of yourself, or for sure the world doesn't. God doesn't have a problem reminding us of how great we are, how loved we are, and how much we have a purpose in this life he's given us. Stay humble so that we can enjoy the results. That's when you see results, when you stay humble. And then the last one I wanted to share with you guys tonight is he is constantly thinking of his family and keeping us in his care. Now, isn't that a comforting statement? He is constantly thinking of his family and keeping us in his care. And for this one, we're going to go to the Old Testament again, and we're going to go to Psalms. And Psalms 139. We've seen this already, but we're going to see it again because, again, He is constantly thinking of his family. Again, how precious are his thoughts about me? How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They are outnumbered by the grains of sand. If you took just one beach here in San Diego and you said, I'm going to count every grain of sand here, you wouldn't do it in your lifetime. If you took a wheelbarrow full of sand, maybe you wouldn't even do that in your lifetime. How much sand is in the world? It's not just the beaches, the deserts. The deserts. And if he thinks that many thoughts of us, that just shows how majestic and how mighty and how wise our Heavenly Father is to be able to have that. Our brains couldn't hold that. We don't have a number that high. But yet God says this in his word. That's how many things he thinks about you, how special you are to him. And you know that. Trying to beat you up, it's not going to do much. It really isn't. Because we got the great one true God who created the heavens and the earth, telling us how much he loves us, telling us he's constantly thinking of you and I. Now, we think things in life, but for a moment, and they pass on. We don't pass on with God. He's constantly thinking of us. And not just, he's listening. We saw that earlier. He's listening. So we want to fill his ears, again, with praise, with thanksgiving, requests, ministering to someone, direction in our lives. God will give you the answer. Amen? Well, these are some, in conclusion, these are some of the things God views in you and I. So, this is how we need to see the love of God in our lives. This is how we need to see the love of God in our lives. So, gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for these reminders and how important they are. I trust that I delivered the message tonight, Father, the reminders of what we need to see, Father, that the world is so limited, Father, but with you, we can move mountains. We can help others, Father, to be a part of your family. And Father, thank you for giving us the honor and the privilege to do that as we increase our knowledge in your truth by your word, by prayers, and by speaking to you, Father. And I thank you for everybody in this room and those who have called in tonight, that they realize that they can do a lot. They have a purpose, Father, as do I. Help us to fulfill that purpose. And Father, because it comes from you, there's nothing greater that we can do. And it brings great peace to our hearts, knowing this, Father, that we are special to you and to one another. So I thank you for everyone's life here, Father, all in Jesus' name. And they all said, Amen. Amen.